constantly. You can't stop. Constantly. He is worthy of all of our praise. Truly he is worthy to be thanked. Giving all praises to God, recognizing our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryant in her absence, to our own minister, William West, to Deacon Andrew Harrison, to the deacons, officers, and members, to the sanctuary choir this morning. Amen. Amen. We don't want to leave out the handbell ensemble this morning. Amen. If you would, we would like to call your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A real quick passage. 6 words. That carries a punch. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 25. By the inspiration of God and by the pen of Paul, these words are recorded. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. We read into your hearing 1 Thessalonians 5:25. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing and doing of God's word. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind. Took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad they prayed for me. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me. That's not a personal testimony. It's a testimony of all believers. All believers, those who have come to know Christ and become a follower of Christ, they can walk with the assurance that somebody prayed for you. We walk with the confidence, we walk with the benefit of knowing that somebody prayed for me. Every believer knows the benefit of having someone to pray for you. The emotional and mental benefits of comfort to know that you're not in it alone. That there is someone that is joining in with you and taking their petitions unto the Lord. Somebody prayed for me. It reduces feelings of anxiety, knowing that you can cast your cares on an all-powerful God who cares for us. It boosts emotional and spiritual health. Believers' prayers can be a bellwether for our mental health and provide encouragement. Simply put, we stop worrying about it and turning it over to the Lord. Prayers together and praying for one another strengthens community and builds relationships. Asking for or receiving prayer can create a deeper bond and sense of camaraderie with the person praying for you. It builds a support system. It builds a support system where people can carry each other's burdens to the Lord in prayer. I'm so glad that somebody prayed for me. Somebody had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. At the end of this epistle of Paul to the church at Thessalonica, he writes a simple command. We see in here an apostolic prayer request. Paul simply asked the members, the brothers and sisters of the congregation, pray for us. Who do you go to when you need somebody to pray for you? Who do you call on when you need somebody to get a prayer through? Who do you lean on when you need somebody to break through the darkness, break through the cloud, and talk to the Lord? Amen. Amen. Who do you reach out to when you need for sure to get a prayer through? I can remember, as many of us who grew up with praying parents, a time in my life when I could call on mama and tell mama to pray for me. There was times, I'm blessed mom is still alive. I could call on her, but there were times when I could call on dad and ask dad to pray for me. I felt like he had more credit with God. I felt like he had a better standing with God. I thought that they had ability to get before God in a way that I couldn't. And I'm so glad that somebody prayed for me. But who do you call on? I remember when 9/11 happened. I was working undercover for the Department of Insurance. I was in ministry, but I was working undercover for the state, you know. I was in the disguise. I was behaving like just a regular servant of the state. I came in, clocked in. At the time, I was still in seminary. I was still in ministry. So I had other things to do. And so I come in, that quiet worker. I was that quiet, take care of his business, don't give nobody no harm, don't raise no fuss, never said anything. I was in the disguise. I didn't think anybody knew that I was a minister on that job. I wasn't broadcasting it. I wasn't telling nobody. But then 9/11 happened. All of a sudden, my cubicle became a prayer stop. All of a sudden, my cubicle came where everybody wanted to come and hear from the Lord. Reverend, what is happening in the world today? Who do you go to when you need to get a prayer through? When you need to get a prayer through, you don't go to the grocery store. No, no, that's where we go to pray. No. When we want to get a prayer through, we can come to the house of the Lord, known to be a house of prayer. One instant where Jesus threw them out, it was because they turned it into a den of thieves. And Jesus said, this is a place where you could get close to the Lord. Paul standing in the need of prayer, he simply goes to the brothers and sisters and make his request known. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. In the epistle, Paul had noted several times his prayers for those at Thessalonica. In verse 1, he says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. He mentioned several times how he prays for them. And then he also asked for their prayers in return. He asked them simply, brothers and sisters, you know, you can't go to an unbeliever. If you go to somebody to ask for prayer, you expect that person to believe in the power of prayer. If you go to somebody to seek prayer, you believe that person already been through the school of prayer. They already know the Lord's prayer. They already know the model prayer. They already know how to bow their knees and say, our Father who art in heaven. When you need somebody to pray for you, you need somebody that knows what they're doing. I love my grandson. I try to pour everything into his life. I want him to have everything better for him. But if I need a prayer, I don't go to my grandson. You understand? No matter how much I love him, no matter how much I want for him, no matter how much I'm willing to give to him, I know he don't have the relationship required to go to the Lord in prayer on my behalf. See, if you're living this life as a believer, every now and then somebody ought to stop you and ask you to pray for them. Now, I'm not trying to put nobody laundry out there. I'm not trying to tell nobody business. But if you go through Monday through Friday and nobody's stopping you, amen, that says something about you. That says that somebody needs to see you praying. When we need a prayer, they know they can go to a believer. People expect believers to be people of prayer. No, we don't just talk about it. We don't just read about it. We don't just study it. We don't just preach about it. We bow our knees and go to the Lord and carry our burdens to Him in prayer. And if it didn't work, I would have stopped. If it didn't have an impact, I would have gave up a long time ago. But I learned through prayer what prayer can do. Prayer can do what talking can't do. Prayer can do what fussing can't do. Prayer can do what money can't do. Prayer can do what doctors can't do. Prayer can do what lawyers can't do. Prayer can do what politicians can't do. Prayer can do everything because it gives God the power. When we pray, we take it our hands off of it and put it in the hands of the Lord. Prayer, there got to be some trust. Amen. You got to trust the one you're talking to. That he's able to do beyond what you are capable of doing. That he simply knows more than you. He's seen more, been in more places, been in more circumstances and situations. So I can call out to the Lord. You know, David says, when I cried out to the Lord, he didn't say he answered me. Yeah. See, when you get close to the Lord, when you're walking with the Lord and you're talking with the Lord and spending time with the Lord, you find comfort in knowing that he inclined unto me. Right. He took the time. He listened to my concern. Somebody pray for me. Brothers and sisters, you are here today. Somebody prayed that the gospel will go forth. Somebody prayed that the gospel will prick somebody's heart today. Somebody prayed that somebody will be moved to accept the gospel and accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Somebody prayed for you. You know, Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus, knowing that he was going to depart, and that the disciples were going to have to face a world without him physically being present. He says the devil is going to try to shift you. But don't worry about it. I've already prayed for you. Don't you know that God has a Holy Spirit operate in the field of communication for God? He interprets our moans. He interprets our groans. He interprets our sighs and translates them for us in the presence of God. God built a prayer system. It don't need sunshine. It don't need battery. It don't need to be recharged. God built a communication system that don't depend on no government, don't depend on no taxes, don't depend on no line, don't depend on no truck, don't depend on no mailboxes, don't depend on no mailmen. God built a communication system. And all you gotta do is call on the Lord. Oh, what am I thankful for this Thanksgiving? I'm thankful that somebody prayed for me. Now, there's a story in the legend of Nathan Robertson. Now, my mama tells this story. I didn't double check it. I didn't go behind her and find out facts and figures. I just took it for what it was, one of those mama stories. Well, mama said the story when I was a baby, a born baby, about two, I developed a cough. And she said I was coughing and coughing. She got tired and scared, didn't know how to stop this baby from coughing, and I'm coughing. Then all of a sudden I cough and stop breathing. Now my mom not no medical doctor, but she did grow up to be a mortician, so I think she knows a little something. She did grow up to be a funeral home director. She said I'm gone, then I'm gonna have to take her word on that one. And she said she told my dad. My dad went out and cut the grass a second time. She said he cut it the day before, found out something happened to me. He went out and started cutting grass again. And if you knew my dad, that's the way he would respond to me if I did anything. So I had to stay out of trouble because I don't know what would happen with my dad. And so she called my grandfather. My grandfather was a Pentecostal pastor of Church of God in Christ. She called him and said, this baby was coughing, now he's not breathing. What should I do? And my grandfather said, put the phone to his ear. Now, I was there, but I don't know what he said. And mama said that out of nowhere, I started coughing again. She said she never heard such a beautiful cough in her life. She was so happy to hear me cough. And now I'm a little older now. I know what Pawpaw said. Now, I don't remember what he said that day, but I know if I know my Pawpaw like I know my Pawpaw, I know what he said. He said, you got a plan and a purpose for this child. You got a future for him. You got something for him to do, and it don't end this day. And I'm so glad. I'm glad today. I'm thankful that somebody prayed for me. You know, you can't just pray for yourself. You can be in circumstances and situations where you can't even pray for yourself. You know, I was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but I had a procedure that they had to put me under for. And so I decided, the lady said, we're going to count down from 10. I said, I ain't count from 10. I'm a holy man. I'm going to recite the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to recite the Lord's Prayer when I go under. And so she said, you ready? I said, I'm ready. I said, Our Father. And then I opened up my eyes. She said, we're done, Mr. Robinson. Times in this life you can't even pray for yourself. You better be thankful that somebody can pray. Take your concerns to the Lord in prayer. Paul said, as the Thessalonians, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Now let us represent Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Because ministry is not done alone. Ministry is done together. It's done in unison. It's done in partnership. He says we are co-laborers with God. We are a body of believers. None of us can do it alone. You know, we can't sing alone. We can't play alone. We can't preach alone. We can't study alone. We can't pray. You can't walk this highway all by yourself. It wasn't designed for that. It was designed for us to do it together. And so Paul says, as Silas, Timothy, and I go out into the mission field, you can be a part of that by your investment in prayer. Power in prayer. You know, people sometimes try to treat prayer like it's just some cross your fingers, hope nothing happened to you, last resort kind of thing. And we're living in a time where those type of things are being challenged. I remember it was a politician. Some tragedy, a calamity had happened. And he came out and he said, we're going to pray about it. I think it was a mass shooting or something. He said, we're going to pray about it. And everybody started jumping down his throat, said, you ought to write policies about it. You ought to write
laws about it. You ought to write. You can do so much more. You can do all these other things. Why are you just talking about praying? And I had to draw a line in the sand right there. I had to draw a line. I was like, now you can go do all those other things, but make sure you include prayer. Make sure you include prayer in your planning. Make sure that you include prayer in your preparation. Make sure you do include prayer in your itinerary. Make sure you include prayer. There is power in prayer. There's more power in prayer than there is in voting. Amen. You look over the history of mankind, more has happened because of prayer, more so than for the vote, more than the election. This is people going to the Lord in prayer. Paul says, brothers and sisters, pray for us. It's done together. It's done in unison. He says, brothers and sisters, in the Greek, it's just one word, often translated brethren. What it simply means is those who have Jesus as a brother, both male and female, that have Jesus in common as their Lord and Savior. To help you with this, I have a sister. I have an older brother. My sister's the middle child. And then I have the privileged position of being the baby. And every now and then, people will come and tell me how my big brother is my sister's favorite brother. I think they're trying to draw a wedge between me and my sister. And they say, you know, your sister said that your big brother is her favorite brother. And I always tell them, I say, he's my favorite too. And if I had a choice between him and me, I'd choose him too. In fact, I was trying to stick God on him when he called me to preach. I said, God, you ought to go get him. He's a much better candidate than I am. But her and I share him as a brother. You and I, who are believers and trust in the Lord, we share Jesus in common as our elder brother, the firstborn, the first begotten of God that was first risen from the dead. We hold him in common. And when we all know him, when we all talk to him, he will move on our behalf. There's power in prayer. That there's power in intercessory prayer. When you stand in the gap for somebody else. When you say I'm standing representing them. I'm touching and agreeing for them. I'm interceding on behalf of them. Lord, I come right now not for myself. I'm coming on behalf of someone else. Intercessory prayer, there is power because it puts it in the hands of God. In essence, when we intercede on behalf of someone else, we give God a blank check. What you're simply doing is you're writing their name on it and you're signing it, and God can fill out the amount. You say, Lord, I want you to figure out the blessing. I want you to figure out the miracle. I want you to figure out the breakthrough. I'm putting it in your hands. When we intercede and stand in the gap. And Paul asked the believers at Thessalonica, pray for us. Now, the church at Thessalonica was unlike the church at Galatia. Now, the church at Galatia was older, but fickle. Yeah. We've been talking about them in Bible study. Wednesday night Bible study, they were fickle. They would go with whatever new fad that came up. But not the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians was young in the faith, but they stood firm on what they believed. They stood on what they believed. They stood firm on the gospel. They stood firm on their trusting and believing in the grace of God for their salvation, that the apostle Paul could make an apostle request, prayer request unto them and say, pray for us. See, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Right. What matters is how close you've gotten to the Lord. It doesn't matter how long you've been on the roll. It doesn't matter how your resume look. What it looks like is you ought to be closer to the Lord. If you go to a senior saint, I suspect you've been with the Lord for a longer time. Amen. Amen. That's the assumption that people will make. If you've been with the Lord, you've been closer to the Lord. And so we need people to pray for us. Not only do we need people to pray for us, but what a privilege to pray for somebody else. I know we live in such a selfish age. It's me, myself, and I. And when I first got into ministry, it tickled me. I was counting sermons. You know, I was on like my third sermon or something, you know. And it would always amaze me when older people would come asking me for prayer. I was like, you're a deacon of the church. Why are you asking me? I just started preaching a couple of days ago. Why are you asking me for prayer? And older ladies were coming to me asking me for prayer. And I would just say, okay, you know, all right, I'll do it. And then I get home and I pray me, myself, and I. Lord, bless me, bless mine, bless me. And wouldn't think about it. And then the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. It said, first of all, they ain't asking you. They asking because of who you represent. They asking you to pray because you represent me. And I highly suggest you start taking that serious. When somebody come ask you to pray, I need you to start praying for them. And I said, well, I ain't going to remember when I get home. I'm going to just stop wherever we are and start praying. And I started doing that in grocery store. Folks asked me to pray. I just stopped right there. And we praying now. We're in a prayer. They be the one looking around. You shouldn't have asked me to pray. You asked me to pray in a parking lot. We praying in the parking lot.
Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord.
This getting off of my itinerary right now. Yeah. I ain't going back home without the Lord worrying me about not praying for you. We gonna pray right here. Yeah. Right now. It's a privilege to pray for somebody else. It's a blessing to be able to stand in the gap for someone else, because it keeps us humble. It keeps us realizing that we need God. We depend on God. Paul personally has seen the risen Savior on the road to Damascus. He had led others to Christ through his ministry. He had prayed his own way out of jams. And even as he concludes this letter, he recognizes his need for prayer. He recognizes his need for others to pray for him. He recognized the fundamental exercise needed for growth, that man ought to always pray. That we ought to always go to the Lord in prayer. As we use this powerful tool in the hands of God, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And we can watch God change things. If you pray for me and I pray for you, God will move in a miraculous way. If you pray for me and I'll pray for you, God will perform a miracle in our midst. God can bring about a difference. God can bring about a change. God can change our circumstance. God can change our situation. Not only can God change our circumstances and situation, I'm so glad that God can change our personalities. God can change our attitudes. God can change our perspective. God can change the way we see the world around us. God can change us. If we owe any change in our life because somebody prayed for us. I'm so glad. I'm glad and thankful on this Thanksgiving week that somebody prayed for me. I'm thankful that I know the Lord for myself. I'm thankful that I can look back over my life and see miracles that he performed. I'm thankful that my family bag contains faith. But I'm thankful that somebody, even when I was too stubborn to pray for myself, somebody, when I was out there wilding and doing my own thing, somebody prayed for me as much as I need. You know, I could pray 24 hours, 7 days a week just for me, myself, and mine. But we are blessed. We are better. We grow when we pray for one another. So I just simply ask, pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And watch God change things. May God bless you, and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. There may be somebody here today. You have to have a personal relationship. But know this, if you don't, somebody is praying for you right now. We're praying that the Spirit will move on your heart and convict your spirit. As the deacons and the greeters come, we want to afford you the opportunity to come as well. This pew is reserved for you. Will you come? Will you come? Those watching us online, put a comment in. Come, just come. To extend, it was yours to accept. May God bless our hearts.